Hello, darling. How are you today? Can you imagine being in a shop and somebody calls you darling? This is Sheena Walker, Director of Performance. Today I'm going to be sharing with you some aspects of customer experience. That experience that I call enchanting. In fact, sometimes now I think that customer experience has dropped dramatically. So how can you and your company improve that experience? Who would have thought being in a Tesco supermarket? I hadn't been in for a number of weeks. And this was a gentleman saying, "Hello, darling, how are you?" There must have been a queue of about 8 or 9 people behind me. Not very good having a queue of 8 or 9 people. And all of a sudden, 8 or 9 people laughed, started to speak to one another, commented on, "Did this gentleman know me? Oh, how wonderful to be called that." And I said, "Oh, I haven't been called that in a number of years." So what I'm sharing with you is that might not be appropriate, and some people might take offence. But for me, that was delightful. It was enchanting. And I said to the manager as I left the store how he brought a smile and how I felt. And he had to chuckle too. And I'm not sure whether he would have said to him that I gave him feedback. But let's look at how we can provide a much better customer service. Why would we want to provide a customer service? You see, for me and for you, providing that experience does one thing. It fosters brand loyalty. And when you deepen and increase brand loyalty, people will not only tell people about their experience, but they will return, whether that's online, in store, and they will give you repeat business. And I believe that in our competitive environment, I talk often about a saturated market. I guess the food market perhaps it's not so saturated, depending where you live. But in a competitive marketplace, outstanding customer experience sets your business apart. And for me, when I hear people saying something's a unique selling point, it's not a phrase I use. I speak about having a branded system, having signature models, having exceptional staff, but these all contribute to selling points, don't they? And we all want to have these happy customers. One of the things I'd like to share before I continue is that if you haven't heard of this company, I hope you've got a little notebook. I keep reminding you every episode about having a notebook, which is very valuable. Murray Poll, which is a global research company, a market research company, who specialises in identifying and comprehending the factors that actually shape customer experience, customers' preferences and customers' decisions. And what that does, this research gets done every year. They do it for the hotel industry, retail industry, all the industries. And they look at what do customers say they enjoy about this particular company? What is it that makes people return? And so today I'm going to speak to you about what they say about customer service. So in your diary, Ipsos Murray Poll. a global market research company, and you can ask them questions on any sorts of things to do with business. And it's amazing. They'll give you the top three loyalty brands, the top three retail brands. So that's what I'm going to share with you today. So what do Moripol say about the retail industry? Or indeed, the services in any industry? Let me correct that. They say the first thing that's top of the list is that you deliver on a promise. Is that amazing or what? Delivering on a promise is actually doing what you say you will do. So that could be in the public sector, in a hospital. They can't say they deliver on a promise. Oops, not supposed to say that. But for many companies, delivering on a promise is their number one priority. It's the priority of Amazon. They want to deliver on a promise. And indeed, from when you order something on Amazon to when it gets checked out in their warehouse, it's less than 30 seconds. So that's the first one. The second thing is having great staff that are well-mannered, have a great attitude and say please and thank you. That's me simplifying that. Could you say that everywhere you go, that people have a brilliant attitude, a great behaviour, like the gentleman in Tesco's calling me darling? Did he have a great attitude? Yes, he did. When I came home and told my boys, they thought that was brilliant. Imagine somebody calling our mum darling, you know. And it created that funny feeling. It created laughter, created conversation, relationship. It doesn't have to be that phrase. So delivering on a promise, having a nice attitude, smiling. And the third thing is doing things in a timely manner. Now, if you've written these three things down, ask yourself, do I deliver on a promise? Do my staff have a brilliant attitude? And do they demonstrate behaviours externally and internally in the company? And do they do things in a timely manner? And if you start to ask yourself as the CEO or the manager, or if you're you lead a team, ask yourself, do we do that? And I think you'll find that you might do it some of the time, not all of the time. But these three habits heavily influence where customers choose to shop, where customers choose to buy services, where customers enjoy staff. And I think if I was to ask you, do you think these three areas play a pivotal role in your company, in retaining customers and ensuring that they return? Let me ask you a question. I'd like you to write this one down. How much does it cost to deliver on a promise? Nothing. How much does it cost to have a brilliant attitude? Absolutely nothing. How much does it cost to do things in a timely manner? Nothing. So what I'm sharing with you today, you can implement personally and professionally in your organisation, in your team, by checking out what all of that means for the CEO, for the shareholders, for the staff, and for your customers if you're on the high street. So the second thing I'd like to ask you to think about is, can you recall the last time you delivered amazing customer service? Did somebody give you feedback? But more importantly, what do customers say you're brilliant at? imagine knowing the habits that you've developed in your organisation have garnered attention and that they're brilliant habits and people are saying, you need to go there. It's great. It's a great place. I'd like to just share that one of the places, and I've talked about this before, is when I go to Glen Eagles, which is a hotel that's about 12 miles from here. And I just love it in Glen Eagles. I love the ambience, the location, the staff. Everything about it just makes me feel really, really good. And thereby lies another thing I'd like you to write down. It's the three F's. It's about when you experience a customer service, how do you feel? Where did you find it? Did you actually experience that emotion? I call that my feel, felt and found emotions. Did you feel that? Because if not, I think it's time to shop somewhere else or go someplace else. I think that since lockdown and COVID, we've been challenged by a lack of customer service. People can't be bothered. And it's very noticeable when you're in stores or when you're online, you're on the phone, you're dealing with car insurance, all these things. And people find that they just can't be bothered. And you can tell. So imagine if you had that experience that I'm sharing with you about Glen Eagles. Can you imagine if everybody experiences that at Glen Eagles, what that does for Glen Eagles business? It gives them an amazing return on investment. Does Glen Eagles advertise or market themselves? I've not seen it anywhere. All of the marketing is word of mouth and that experience that people feel. And if you're the chief exec, the manager, the chairperson, a leader, making your customers feel brilliant through having a tailored experience is the way forward. And I'm sharing with you extracts from my book that I've drafted, and I thought that I would share with you what I've written, what I feel. And my book's an educational book, and so it's not been printed. I'm sharing with you the some part of the editing out of the draft. And in the customer service part, I've shared 9 habits. Today I'm going to share 3 of them with you. And having great customer service habits that you instill from the boardroom to the managers, to the staff, to the shop floor, to the customers, is the way forward. So habit 1 is about winning customer approval. And I shared that with Tesco. I shared that with Glen Eagles. Do they win my approval? Well, yes, they do. And what I found was that when I worked for Boots the Chemist PLC, they also went from the top to the bottom, and that customer experience had to be felt on the shop floor. And here's something really interesting working for Boots, is their emphasis on recruitment, induction, training, succession planning was fundamental in delivering a brilliant customer service. Because always at the heart of everything we did was, how would the customer feel experiencing that? And recruitment was a key aspect in Boots. How often do you go into stores or you're online and you think, who on earth recruited these people? Because their behaviour, the very second thing Maury Pohl highlights, is shocking. So what I'm saying to you, a key point is, if you're a high-ranking executive, you can shape your company's policy on customer service. And as a key figure, you have an opportunity to go out and speak about your beliefs and values. I was just speaking to someone today about a chief exec said, oh, I never go out and speak about what we do or our values. And I asked him, why not? I can't do that, but why not? So if you're a CEO and you don't go out and speak about your company's beliefs and values and the experience that you give to customers, then I think you better make that a very top priority right now. Would you agree? What do you think? Am I giving you advice that could be relevant to helping your company? You know, when we have a shared car, and when we take the car to the garage, if I've got to take the BMW to the garage, what is it about BMW that leads the field? And when you say BMW, when you say Formula One, when you say Apple, what does that actually mean to you? What it means is that they've been positioned as a great brand. I'd like you to write down one of the next points is, right now, you need to expand your company's brand. Not just rely on the customers you've got in the past. You need to look to the future and ask, what kind of brand do we have? An actual fact, that's one of the habits that I speak about, is developing your niche, developing your brand. Can you imagine if everybody said, that's a brilliant place to do business? That's brilliant to go there, because they just look after you so well. And what you've got to remember is customer experience is internal and external. And what I mean by internal, customer service is your staff internal. And I have a very big pet hate in staffing, is that I ask the question during induction, what's being professional with staff together? And what's being a gossip? And I think that there's certain organisations that people just gossip from the minute they go in to work. Let me tell you, you can't be professional and a gossip. You're one or the other. So why wouldn't you want to be a customer service professional? And you demonstrate these ambassadorial characteristics. I found that my proactive approach to customer service was, I think, second to none. And it's almost like feeling, I was going to say slightly famous like a celebrity, is a phrase I use in my speaking, but it's one of the habits, the third habit actually, is having superstar qualities. What if you had superstar qualities and you became slightly famous in the business that you're in? One of the feedback I gave to a company called LNER, which is a train company that I used to go from Scotland to London. And on a return journey on the last train, which I had about 10 minutes between getting into Edinburgh and my train back to Stirling. I realised that we'd had a slight delay, and I realised that perhaps the connection, I was going to miss my connection. I did start to worry slightly because the weather conditions weren't good. It was quite late at night and I was travelling alone. However, I needn't have worried because the train manager came and he explained to me, yes, we were running late, but I don't want you to worry because what we're going to do is we'll make sure that you get to your destination in Stirling. I'll come back to you and I'll let you know how we're going to do that. And maybe 45 minutes to an hour later, he came back and said, yes, we're arriving at 11:15 at night. We're going to be late, but we've arranged a taxi to take you back home. What? Can you imagine my surprise that I was going to get a taxi from the railway station? Take a bow, LNER, for how well they have their customer service policies in place. So let's look at that. Did they deliver on a promise? Yes, they did. Did they have a nice attitude, behaviour, and did they smile? Yes, they did. Did they do things in a timely manner? Well, the train was late, but they very quickly had an alternative. Do I continue to use them or will I continue to use them? Yes, I will. So can you see how LNER delivered a superb customer experience? So, the three areas I've shared with you is that the Maurepole delivering on a promise, attitude and behaviour and timely manner. And then we've looked at how do you move forward and win customer loyalty? How do we have superstar qualities? And how do you become slightly famous? And perhaps I might share with you that let's explore the relationship between customer service and employee satisfaction. I'm travelling soon and had an appointment at a travel clinic to go over what vaccinations I might need. And I went with a friend because I was unclear about where this organisation was. And she said, oh, I know where that is. I'm not at work that day, I'm off. And so she came with me. All good, great, no problem. Got three vaccinations, got a little card. Brilliant, I was really pleased. But on the way back in the car, did this dent the vaccine service? She said that as she waited, there was a desk, a customer service, well, a patient service desk, where people checked in. And the two members of staff were discussing people, rotas, what they weren't happy about. Would I have asked them to take a bow? No, I wouldn't. And that is gossip. What I mentioned earlier, are you a professional or are you a gossip? And that is about, I have a little thing called TIP. It's trust, integrity and professionalism. Can your employers trust you? Do you demonstrate integrity to your employers? And are you professional when you deliver that customer or patient experience online, face-to-face, on the train? It's really, really important that at all times you cultivate a reputation for being a brilliant company. And one of the things that a friend of mine, Shep, who's in the USA, I'm in Scotland, but he's an expert on customer service. And I remember listening to him telling me one time that, do you speak about having a complaints department in your company? Well, most companies would have a complaints department, you would think. And what he told me was, you know, I had to think about this. And I want you to think about that if you got a dedicated complaints department. Let me ask you, is it a big complaints department? Or is it random, people just deal with it? If a complaint comes in, somebody deals with it. You see, he believes that the bigger the complaints department lacks customer service, processes and systems. I'm going to say that again. If you have a big complaints department, that means something is very wrong in your organisation. Something's wrong either in the recruitment of the staff, something's either wrong in the processes or systems you've got set up. Or go back to what I mentioned in the beginning. A big complaint department means you are not delivering on a promise. You perhaps don't have the correct attitude that somebody's complained about the staff, and you're not doing things in a timely manner because people are very unhappy. So I want you to think about what I've shared about crafting an experience in your company, why it's important in our saturated market, why the three areas that you need to look at. But more importantly, the areas that you need to look at cost nothing. I'm going to leave you with, go and check out your processes and systems, your staff, internal, your external customers, and ask yourself, do we deliver on a promise? Is our company got a huge brand identity? If not, can you work on that? And the third thing I'd like you to really look at is that, do you do more than is required? Do you go the extra mile in your organisation to be the best you can be? So there's lots of questions there I've posed to you. I hope you're writing them in your book. If you want to talk to me about customer service, or you'd like help in putting a programme together in customer service, give me a call on 07588 645 702, or email me on sheena@sheenawalker.com. Perhaps you would like to jump on a call with me. I'll answer three questions. If you've got three questions that you've become a little bit stuck, I'm more than happy to answer these questions for you. But in the meantime, it's bye for now.